Back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select with Hockman, Gould, and Fredrickson on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
I knew a man, Bojangles, and he danced for you in worn-out shoes.
Welcome back to the Writer's Block, presented by Bud Select here on, what do we call it? Oh, Inevitable Day. St. Louis Blues. Oh, and also the other inevitable thing is they applied for MLS. So, yeah, by the deadline yesterday. So we knew that was coming regardless of how the votes were working out for the public. So Inevitable Day, February 1st, we knew it was going to happen. We knew it was going to arrive.
And
we knew all these other things were going to arrive, too.
It was also inevitable that I was going to be at the Chaffetz Arena tonight for Red Panda Day. So we all know that's going on. We're going to get
exactly so much inevitability.
Yeah. Want to let you know, too, about the Kitchen Pass at the Cajun Cook-Off presented by Mardi Gras, Inc., Inside STL, and 590 The Fan to exclusively offer this to our listeners. On Saturday, February 11th at Soulard Market, that's at Soulard Market Park, rather, from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., it's a unique experience for 40 listeners to get an inside experience into the behind the scenes of STL dining. Hang out and watch local culinary wizards Tom Schmidt, Mike Johnson, Mike Emerson, and more demo their culinary skills and sample their food before the public can. It includes a premium open bar featuring Jim Beam, FN Vodka, Hornitos Tequila, Barefoot Bubbly, Bloody Mary Mix, and Tim Lorson's private stash of damn good whiskey for sampling and only to enjoy in the kitchen. Purchase tickets now on InsideSTL.com.
And let's not forget that we also have four tickets to give away to two nights SLU game. Travis Ford's tickets are going to our listener. You have to be able to go to two nights SLU game.
Go to the game. And probably what we'll do is coming up right after Benjamin is we'll probably have to do it over the phone. We'll give away tickets, four tickets. You have to want to go. So in about 10, 12 minutes, we're going to be giving these away.
And we'll just do it to what the...
caller, whatever we pick.
We'll just pick a number.
Yes.
Arbitrary. Do you think we could get, like, pick the number of wins that Ken Hitchcock has, so like the 569th caller?
That might be an issue.
Might take some time.
And Benjamin's glad that he's on the line when you said 569.
Right, no, right. I did that for his benefit. So let's welcome in now co-host of this show who spent the day on assignment because there was a little bit of news downtown, Benjamin Hockman, St. Louis Post-Dispatch, sports columnist, STLtoday.com, sports columnist, the other Ben in the two Ben's videos, the one that doesn't drive. Mm-hmm. How are you doing, Mr. Hockman?
I'm good. It's weird following up Puck Daddy Greg. He's amazing. I feel like the guys who had to follow up the Beatles on Ed Sullivan. I've been trying to think of who's on his list, that final top 100 list. All I could think of is Rocket Richard.
That's all you could think of?
All right. I mean, it's all I can say on the radio.
That was right up your alley, wasn't it?
Oh, my God. I'm getting that book. I'll pay the $5.99 this afternoon.
Very good. Well, you can give us a rundown then tomorrow here in the studio.
I will. Happy to.
All right. So, here's a question that I presented to Gardner to start the show and that I asked Puck Daddy Greg Wyshynski in this last block, and I will now present to you Benjamin Hockman, voice of the people, STLtoday.com. Of the culprits here that led to Ken Hitchcock's firing, who do you think was most at fault? Who do you think contributed most to today's news? Was it Ken Hitchcock, the coach who, you know, was in charge of implementing and putting together the team on the ice and leading it? Was it Doug Armstrong, who built the team and maybe had some misfit toys for the style of play that Hitchcock wanted? Or was it Jake Allen, the goaltender?
Oh, wow. I didn't know you were going to throw Jake in there, too. That makes it difficult. What's funny is if we're ranking it, Hitch is fourth of those four.
I mentioned three.
We said Hitch. He's a Hitch. Did you say the players?
No.
Did you say Armstrong and then Jake Allen?
I did not. Hitchcock, okay, well, Armstrong, and Allen. Okay. I thought your joke was pretty good, though. Of the three, Hitch is fourth.
Oh, yeah, that would have played. I mean, what I'm getting at is it's funny that Hitch is the one out when you could easily make a case that it should be Armstrong that's out, and when you can also make a case, you look at the play of the players, I love the quote that Armstrong used today. A lot of independent contractors out there skating around for the Blues. And it's almost like a chicken and the egg thing, because we could say, all right, well, shouldn't the coach have motivated the players to be more team-oriented? Well, shouldn't the players be self-starters because they're millionaire athletes? It's their job. And we can go many ways. But needless to say, it wasn't as simple as the coach stinks, let's get rid of him.
Well, in that way, wasn't a self-fulfilling prophecy here a little bit? I used that phrase in the last segment, so I apologize for revisiting it. But do you think it was a self-fulfilling prophecy in that way? I mean, you put two coaches in there. One is the actual coach. The other is the coach in waiting. And now you question whether the players know who to impress. Then there's questions as to what kind of play they had, that quote-unquote losing brand of hockey that we don't lose with pride anymore. If you have an uncertainty in the team as to where the leading voice comes from, doesn't that lead to a scattering of leading voices?
Oh, you can definitely make that argument. I mean, on paper, you know, you want to say everything should have worked out just fine. You've got a legendary coach, and he's kind of ushering in his protege here in Yo, and they're working together, and everyone's a professional, and they should work together, blah, blah, blah. But we know the reality of coach-player relationships, and we know the reality of self-starters and how players talk to different coaches and how they get in doghouses and stuff. And it's clear that Hitchcock has a past, has a history of kind of clashing with some players, and they kind of tone them out and do their own thing. It runs its course. And the difference in this scenario and the previous Hitchcock scenarios and other teams was that the new coach was right there in the room also.
What were your emotions when you found out this morning that Hitchcock was fired?
That's a great question, because I feel emotions are a key aspect to any storytelling, Chris. When you look, I mean, silliness aside, I was definitely surprised and felt awkward and uncomfortable sitting there right in front of Doug Armstrong as he basically started crying and was choked up about having to fire a good friend. But we see it a lot in business where people are fired, not necessarily for talent reasons, but for other reasons. And we saw it here in this case. And I guess they kept using the word rebirth. I think the word is resuscitation of the Blues. And it's just really interesting because they think, or they want to make a playoff run, but then what are they going to do come the trade deadline? Do they trade away one of their best defensemen and get younger players to build on for the future? Can they possibly be sellers and buyers? Is that even a thing? So I think we're going to learn a lot about the Blues in the short term in these next few weeks to see if indeed they do need to make a move, or if Yo is suddenly the pressing the different buttons on the same players, but they end up being the right button.
So then what was your takeaway from Yo's comments and your conversation with him at the press conference?
Well, I had many takeaways, to be honest. I liked his honesty, and he seemed like he was, I mean, he won the press conference. They always do. He was humble. And he was honest, and he made it appear like he was confident, but he also knew that this wasn't going to be a quick fix, and he said all the right things. I brought this up to Mike Yo and to Armstrong is, like, can Mike Yo learn about himself as a coach by looking at the current success of the Minnesota Wild and how some of the players that Yo had in the doghouse are actually some of the key players on this fantastic team? And he admitted he can learn some about his coaching ways just by watching what could have been failures that are now turning into successes in Minnesota under a different coach.
Yeah, I do find it curious that, you know, we heard about some friction at time between players and Hitch, but when you hear other people describe Yo's coaching style, it kind of lends itself at times to that friction as well. It's not like they're two completely different personalities and where you should be expecting something completely different in that regard.
Yeah, that's a good point. Doug Armstrong did kind of make a little fun comparison, found a little levity, basically. Hitchcock's kind of the straight shooter, though, when he would talk to players about things. and you know, perhaps is more eloquent, and I don't know if he's more eloquent away from the rink, but when he's talking to the players, he'll explain things better. But I don't want to label him as his player's coach, because you're absolutely right. We've read the stories, we've heard the stories about how things went in Minnesota.
Benjamin, you've been around the Blues and the press conferences of all the major ones this past year. Was this the first time that Armstrong said rebuilding?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard the word transition before. But I guess the question is, what is rebuilding in the sense of a team that's also trying to not only make the playoffs but win playoff rounds?
Maybe it's not, though.
Yeah. I mean, like we hear in other sports, like, all right, they're in a rebuilding process. Like Mizzou football was in a rebuilding process. They got a new coach. They had a losing season. So they take some steps, and no, they didn't go to a bowl game because they're rebuilding. Well, the Blues are rebuilding. They're trying to rebirth, refresh, whatever R-E word you can come up with. But the reality is they're trying to do this maybe similar even to the Cardinals of recent years who were trying to replenish, to use another R-E word, basically stay in the playoff hunt but still make some changes to the roster. And that's what we're seeing here with the Blues. And I asked Mike Yeo about, all right, Coach, we talked a lot about the style with this team, style of play. What is the style? Can you explain it to the fans? And he said, it's not necessarily about the style. It's more about our identity, and that needs to change. We're not approaching hockey the way winning hockey should be approached. And I love the kind of, you would call this a metaphor of the 50-50 puck. The idea of a lot of the Blues this season, they've literally on 50-50 pucks tried to go on the offensive on that and take risks with that, but it backfires because when they lose the 50-50 puck, suddenly they're a man down defensively. And Doug Armstrong explained you want to approach those from a defensive mindset. Well, the Blues now metaphorically they're at their season is a 50-50 puck right now. Which way is it going to go? They could very easily tumble out of the playoffs, or they could somehow find a way to play hockey the right way, the smart way, and the team way, and salvage the season and make it into the big tournament.
So who has more riding on the next month than the players or Armstrong?
That's a good one. I don't think we know for sure, because it comes back to what is Tom Stillman's true feelings and his true relationship with Armstrong. Clearly, he appreciates the guy, sees him as the GM of Team Canada. We know he's got a great track record, but he's also the guy that gave some of these ridiculous contracts. We look at Laterra or what have you, or botching it with Saboka and the whole thing. So by no means is Armstrong out the door just yet, but I'd say there's more pressure on him, because Stillman, just like Stillman could love Armstrong, and Armstrong loved his dear friend Hitchcock, business is business.
So are you going to miss asking questions like this to now former Blues head coach Ken Hitchcock?
Is there any chance you'll go back and do another Civil War reenactment this summer?
Not as a participant. I am now an observer. I'm too old to lie in the damn grass and get wet. So I'm an observer. I get to sit on the hill and critique how all the other guys look.
Now what?
Yeah, that's a great point. We're going to have to find out what quirky, fun thing Mike Yeo does. And now I'm curious what Hitch will be doing. Will he attend more Civil War reenactments?
No, we know.
On his scope?
We know.
You know?
Yeah, we know what Ken Hitchcock will be doing.
What's that?
He's going to be winning a Stanley Cup with another team.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. we know. I mean, yeah. It's proven.
It's proven, yeah.
That's I mean, they're 3-for-3, so. Actually, 4-for-4, right?
Al Arbor, Joel Quenneville, Jacques Demers.
Scotty Bowman.
Scotty Bowman,
did
yeah.
Keenan go on it? No, Keenan did not go on and win a Stanley Cup.
He already won his with New York.
So.
I am curious to find out if Hitchcock does not go on to coach again, if he would come out of retirement from Civil War reenactment, though. He said he wouldn't.
He's too old to lie in that bleep again.
Yeah, so I don't know if he might consider coming out of retirement for that, though.
But he's got more time to train. Maybe that was it. If he has more time to train, next thing you know, he's Stonewall Hitchcock.
Yeah, I just would worry about the stonewall and waiting. I just, you know, I think that, yeah, you know, the reenactors, they're going to be like, well, he'll lead us today, but we really need to have somebody in waiting there. I think he should learn from the lesson here.
And you might be defiant to the end, even if you're stonewall, but the results still won't change.
Right. No. When somebody brings orders, papers. Yeah, no, I mean, somebody brings in papers and says, look, you know, memo from the president, I'm here to be your general in waiting. He should just pack them up. Pack them up.
Yeah.
Get on the road with the trampled by turtles.
That's life.
Yeah. Benjamin, anything else going on? You having some fun?
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a crazy day with National Signing Day going on, some MLS news. A lot to unpack and unwrap, as you might say, back there at the studio.
Give a preview of what direction you're headed in for tomorrow's paper, though.
Well, that actually I did accidentally. It was the idea of the 50-50 puck and where do the Blues go from here, and my take on Mike Yeo and how this guy can succeed and will he succeed.
You think they ought to be sellers at the deadline?
I think they should trade Shattenkirk, yeah. But also Armstrong, when I asked him about Shattenkirk today, it was interesting seeing his response, because he basically said in so many words that Shattenkirk is great, but he's not like Wayne Gretzky or something like that. He didn't say those words, but he was kind of smiling and saying, what?
That's a bold statement.
Right. But just the idea of, like, there's been so much in the national media and obviously here in St. Louis, the local media, about Shattenkirk, as if Wayne Gretzky is available at the trade deadline. His point was Shattenkirk's a very good player, but is this a fulcrum player? Is this a franchise-changing player? I guess what he was maybe alluding to is he could probably trade Shattenkirk and still feel pretty darn comfortable that this team, if in the tournament, could maybe win a round.
I think where he might be off on that is simply, you know, you're looking right now, if you make it into the playoffs, the feeling that you'd be one and done, and people are tired of watching guys walk away and nothing come back in return.
Right.
And especially if you're a team that's rebuilding, like he said he was, then how do you not go that route is my question.
Let me throw this wrinkle into this conversation, though, however. Do not ignore the fact that if they make the playoffs, they are guaranteed at least two home games, and two home games bring in a certain guaranteed amount of revenue, which the owner may like, which Scott Trade Center may need, which all of these things factor in, and they will play off the idea of letting Shattenkirk walk with the notion that they might get cash in exchange for two playoff games.
That's a different perspective.
That's interesting. That could probably renovate a couple sections of seats, if anything.
Well, I mean, you're guaranteed a million. It used to be a million off the hop. Now it's more than that. But with a playoff game, you're guaranteeing some ticket sales and revenue that you could use. Yeah. So they if they go into a rebuild mode, they might do it just as a hold-on mode because of the money in play. The value of the revenue from a playoff will be played against the value of the player coming in. So, Benjamin, you're no Grantland Rice, but we'll be happy to have you back in the studio tomorrow.
Oh, that's nice of you. Yeah. How about can I come in studio tomorrow?
Yeah. No, we're counting on that. We've kept your chair empty today, hoping that you would come.
All right. Yeah, I look forward to being back in the mix tomorrow.
All right. Well done on assignment today, and thank you very much, Benjamin, for joining us.
All right, have some fun with Gardner's grab bag.
That sounded wrong. I will.
Oh, no. That's on a list now.
Please take that back.
Bye.
All right. That's Benjamin Hockman, St. Louis Post-Dispatch sports columnist. He's a co-host here at the Writer's Block. You can follow him on Twitter at HOCHMAN. That's HOCHMAN, Hockman, Gardner.
It's the battle on Broadway. Timber Fake versus the home loan expert Ryan Kelly at the historic South Broadway Athletic Club Friday, February 17th. Doors open at 7 with the undercard of amateur matches starting at 8. Tickets sold out right now, but more may become available, so stay tuned. Hear the action live on 590 The Fan if you're not there. Also on InsideSTL.com. It'll be Iggy and Larry Nickel on the call of the main event at approximately 10 o'clock. Ticket revenue will be donated to our charity partners, Friends of Kids with Cancer, Catherine Cares, and Three Little Birds for Life. The Battle on Broadway, presented by Bud Select, Auto House BMW, All-Star Trophy, Night Shift Bar and Grill, and DB's, which is offering a free shuttle for the event. And it's also the home of the post-match party.
All right. Well, when we come back for our last segment, we will have Gardner's Grab Bag.
We will.
And I am going to tell you about worlds colliding on National Signing Day.
Ooh, that'll be fun. And while we're in this break.
Right.
Caller number two.
Caller number two. No, not two. We got to do something better than that. This is St. Louis. You got to do caller number six.
Caller number six for Stan Musial. 855-282-8255. Four tickets right behind the Billikens bench tonight. Travis Ford's own personal stash. He's let a few out. Battle on Broadway tickets aren't out yet. Some of those might come out. Travis Ford's giving us some of his own to use tonight for the Billikens game. A first tip of 6 o'clock between the Billikens and George Mason. Red Panda performing at halftime. Caller number 6, 855-282-8255 if you want to go to the game.
So caller number 6 gets 4 here on the Rider's Block, presented by Pud Select on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 and InsideSTL.com.